This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Let's ride.
Time for the words that are recited before each and every game here at Dodger Stadium. Take it away, Finn.
It's time for Dodger baseball.
And we're live. What's up, Dodger fans? Happy Monday, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast presented by Tick Pick and Fansided. This is Kevin Klein speaking. Your Los Angeles Dodgers are 24-13. They're winning so much, I don't even bother to check the standings right now. They've won 12 out of their last 14 games, and as far as I'm concerned, we're probably comfortably ahead in the NL West. I'm not even sure if anyone else is above 500, but
I don't think they are.
Jake Reiner's in the house. Jake had a big week. Maybe he'll dive into that later on or right now, however he's feeling. He's having an awesome time, though. He's winning. The Dodgers are winning. Life is good. What's up, Jake?
Hey, Kevin. Yeah, let's get into that a little bit later. Definitely a very exciting couple of weeks for me personally, career-wise. But this is a Dodgers podcast, so let's get into it. This team has really turned it around ever since Andy Páez came up. And not just because of his play. I mean, he is a guy that has been providing at the bottom of this order, which, you know, for a while there, the bottom of the order was just literally nothing, getting zero production out of them. And then as soon as Páez hit the scene, you've seen guys like Outman hitting a little better, Rojas stepping up, even Austin Barnes getting a couple of hits here and there. I'm not ready to go back on everything I said about Austin Barnes and his, you know, ability to bunt and play small ball just yet. But I am encouraged to see what he's been doing at the bottom of that order. Also, the starting pitching has been electric lately. Just some really stellar performances from Yamamoto and Glasnow. Been really impressed with them. We'll get into Walker Buehler, which is the main headline from tonight, but I've just been impressed with Paxton and, why is the name of the rookie?
Stone?
Gavin Stone and Landon Knack, too. Those guys are, I mean, the rotation's clicking right now, too.
Hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, a giveaway to be announced shortly. And yes, the Dodgers have been rolling ever since Andy Páez has been added to the lineup. I mean, he hit a walk-off, for goodness sakes, and he's got four home runs.
We'll a walk off against the Braves, no less.
And he drew his first career walk tonight. Not sure what's a bigger milestone for him, but good for him. We'll talk more about Andy later on. But yeah, the big story here is Walker Buehler hasn't pitched for the Dodgers at the big league level since June of 2022. As we all know, underwent his second Tommy John surgery and has been rehabbing and battling his way back to get back into the Dodgers starting rotation. And finally, on May 6th, he made his 2024 debut. And I think to me, my biggest takeaway was the velocity At one point, he hit 98 miles per hour on the radar gun, which is definitely encouraging because going into this, I was worried he'd be throwing 92, 93, but he topped out at 98 through 96 quite a few times, 97, and then settled down into like 95 mile per hour range. Gave up three runs, including a home run, only went four innings pitched because he was on a pretty tight pitch count. 77 pitches is what we got out of him tonight. And he gave up six hits, but he did strike out four Miami Marlins. On the flip side, it was good to see the velocity there. It was the Miami Marlins, so we still have a lot. We have to see a lot more from Walker Buehler to really know where he's at because the Marlins flat out stink. But hey, Buehler's back. It's a step in the right direction, and he got the fastball down. He needs to get the other pitches under control, though.
Yeah, he seemed to struggle with his command with his secondary pitches, but I'm like you, Kevin. The fact that he was throwing 95, 96 is the most encouraging thing of the entire night. I mean, let's forget the fact that, you know, it was against the Marlins and then he got hit and, you know, he was hit, you know, fairly hard by them. Let's forget all of that because we got a grade on a curve here. This guy is coming back from two Tommy John surgeries and let's give him time. And the fact that he's pumping 96 is the most encouraging thing because that was the thing we were most worried about when he went down and when he was coming back. I mean, that's kind of was the beginning of the end when he really started to, you know, get fatigued and lost his velocity on his fastball. That was it for him, you know, in 2022. So yeah. For him to come back and be pumping 96, 97 is huge. And credit to the Dodgers offense too, because they stepped up and basically carried Walker Buehler. They picked him up. You know, the Dodgers had jumped out to a lead and then Walker Buehler gave up the lead and it was tied 3-3 for a minute. And then the Dodgers offense exploded. Ohtani, of course, Teoscar Hernandez, and the list goes on of the guys that were able to pick up Buehler tonight, which was huge.
And what's beautiful about this whole situation right now, how the Dodgers have really assembled the starting rotation, they don't have to lean on Walker Buehler like they did in years past. And this is kind of where we got into a whole heated debate in the offseason where some people felt Buehler is still the ace of the staff and they're going to lean on him for a game one. Right now, there's a lot less pressure on Walker Buehler. He just needs to get his feet under him. He needs to get a feel for his pitches. Let it all together and we'll figure it out come October. They don't need to start him in a game one or with the season on the line. He's the perfect number three starter right now for the Dodgers because with the way Glasnow and Yamamoto are pitching, they are in such a rhythm. You're going to rely on them, let them carry the rotation, and then you can bring out Buehler. I'm talking way down the line, obviously. He can go in for the kill.
Yeah. No, I have full confidence in him. If there's one guy I trust more than a lot of other pitchers, it's Walker Buehler. And, you know, to be able to deploy someone like Brian Yarbrough when you need him is also huge. That guy has been, what a godsend. I mean, an absolute delight, I would say. That trade, it was so, like, underreported and maybe even underappreciated at the time it happened during the deadline last year when they got him from the Royals. But right. He's been nothing short of just spectacular, whether you need him to start, whether you need him to long relieve, whether you need him for an inning or two, he's been there. So while Walker Buehler kind of comes back to be able to have that guy ready to go on his starts, at least his first few starts till he starts to really get stretched out and stuff, that is what a luxury to have.
Absolutely. And yeah, Ryan Yarbrough, I kind of wrote him off. I really put him under the radar. I feel like if I remember correctly, the Dodgers left him off the postseason roster, which was a bit of a head scratcher to begin with. And then we felt like we had a pretty stacked team. So there were question marks of where Yarbrough would fit, but obviously with all the injuries, and we'll talk more injuries in a second. Last episode when I was on my own, I declared Miguel Rojas the unsung hero, I guess on the offense side, but without a doubt, Ryan Yarbrough is the unsung hero of the Dodgers bullpen. I mean, he's already thrown 30 innings as a hybrid starter reliever. He has a 2.70 ERA. His whip is like 0.70, which is insane when you think about walks and hits he's giving up to throw a 0.70. And he doesn't even strike people out. He's got like 14 strikeouts over those 30 innings. And like Jake was saying, the Dodgers can just lean on him heavily to ride out these games and eat innings.
Yeah. He's the master of soft contact.
Which
sounds way more sexual than it should, right?
It really does.
Yeah.
He's like
I'm never saying that again. I can tell you that.
He's the new Tyler Anderson, but in a bullpen form.
Right.
Basically what he's become. He's just Mr. Reliable. He's ready. He's ready to put, he's like, put me in, coach. He's ready. So yeah, prop to Yarbrough. If he becomes a free agent, I think at the end of the offseason, some team's gonna, you know, pay him some good dollars, I'm pretty sure. Cause he's definitely showing his value. Now that he got the hell out of Kansas City, he's actually flourishing in a big market like Los Angeles, which doesn't happen very often for kind of a quote unquote, I would say like a scrub prior to entering this territory.
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess like my final thoughts on Buehler, I'm just happy to see him back. This is definitely a guy that the Dodgers had missed, especially in October, the last two postseasons. I mean, when you really think about it, like the fact that we had to go into the 22 and the 23 playoffs without Walker Buehler there after so much this guy has given to the Dodgers throughout his career. They showed it on the screen before he even began his first pitch tonight. I think he had like the third or fourth lowest ERA since being called up, which kind of just goes to show you how tremendous Walker Buehler had been up until this point prior to the injury. One of the game's best pitchers and obviously a World Series champion. There's still a lot to play out, and I'm just excited to have him back.
Yeah, my final thoughts on Walker Buehler, like kind of similar to yours, Kevin. Just wow, he's back. Just seeing him in Dodger blue on the mound again at Dodger Stadium, where he's dominated so many a hitter over his career, is just great, a great sighting to see him back. I'm pretty sure I'm going to have the same feeling when we see Clayton Kershaw come back on the mound too. So those guys are sorely missed, and it's just great, a great sight to see. And again, the velocity, I mean, that's the key. I mean, that's when you know he is at full strength, or at least heading in that direction.
All right. So if you're listening on the audio feed, we'll include you as well. Here you go on the camera, people. This is a 2024 edition of the Walker Buehler bobblehead. So I'm syncing this up perfectly. All you have to do is hit the like button. This isn't going to really work for you people in the live chat. So you're going to have to go back after the show's finished. Put in the comment section. You just need to comment anything Walker Buehler related. Just throw Buehler in there and comment below. And I think our goal is to get at least 3,200 subscribers to do this giveaway. So hopefully we can get this done in a month. We'll do 32 in honor of Sandy Koufax. If you're listening on the audio feed, I'll include you as well. Leave a 5-star review and leave Walker Buehler somewhere in the comment section on Apple or Spotify. And write some comments about the show, what you like. And I'll promote this on social media. But yeah, you got to be a YouTube subscriber. Hit the like button, and in the comments after the fact, say something about Walker Buehler. And this is free. This is not a catch. So if you want a Walker Buehler bobblehead to your collection, I mean, it's literally free. Simple rules right there, people.
Very easy rules. Very, very simple way to win.
So yeah, it was cool to see James Outman hit a home run. Finally, it'd been like almost a month, it felt like.
Yep.
The Dodgers put him into the 9-hole, which at this point kind of means you're the worst hitter on the team. So hopefully that gets something going for James Outman. Teoscar Hernandez continues to slug. He's got 9 home runs now, basically has replaced JD Martinez to a T. So good for the Dodgers. And he can play.
And even better than that too, because he can play defense.
Yep. And he's been tremendous, has yet to miss a game. Him, Mookie, and Freddie are the three Dodgers that have played in the Dodgers lineup every day now. What a godsend Teoscar has been.
I mean, he was huge in the Braves series. I believe he hit a home run and threw a guy out at second base, you know, from the outfield. So, yeah. I mean, just having an absolute monster of a season, what a pickup he was. Again, you know, everyone talks about Ohtani and Glasnow, as they should, but this was sort of it was like sort of late into the offseason when they made this deal. It was one of the last deals that they made, and it was like, whoa. Just a beautiful piece to add to this already stacked roster. And he's providing just an absolute, insane amount of production from whether he's hitting in the four hole or the five hole. So, yeah, he's been great.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. Started off with Shohei Ohtani as I am teeing it up on social media. This guy, where has he ranked in terms of your expectations?
I mean, it's whether you say he's met my expectations or exceeded them, you could make arguments for both because I knew he was this good. But I think it changes the perspective on the player when you get to watch them every single day. I had that same feeling when we got Mookie Betts, and okay. I had that same feeling when we got Freddie Freeman. And now that we've got Ohtani, it's like you don't really truly appreciate how great they are until they're on your team and you're watching them day in and day out.
Yeah.
The majestic blasts that Ohtani hits, I mean, I've never seen anything like that. Consistently, it feels 120 off the bat, just these moonshots that are clearing the wall by plenty. The outfielders don't even move when he hits these balls. The other night against the Braves, where he had 10 total bases, he was 4 for 4 with 2 homers. I mean, what a spectacular addition he's been. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if he's exceeded my expectations, but I'm definitely blown away by what I'm watching.
Yeah, he's absolutely exceeded my expectations. I didn't watch him that often when he played for the Angels because watching the Angels was a bad time, in my opinion. But every now and then I would catch some Angels games and he would hit some home runs. And I was like, yeah, this guy is pretty damn good. I can see why he's the best player in baseball. But kind of like when LeBron James came to the Lakers, and a little bit different because LeBron's older, but you grow an appreciation because I'm like, God damn, this is how I felt about LeBron. Like, this guy truly is one of the greats of all time. And now we have Shohei Ohtani, and I've seen him play in a Dodgers uniform of just about every game so far. And my mind is blown. This guy could be, up to this point in a small sample size, the best hitter I've ever seen for the Dodgers. The things that he is doing is absolutely insane. I mean, my goodness. Look at the stats. He's hitting 370 right now, and he's coming off his second elbow surgery. He's got an on-base of 434, 1,100 OPS, leads baseball or National League with 11 home runs, 27 RBIs, and like Jose Mota promised us in that episode a couple months ago, this guy's stealing bags. He's got 9 stolen bases now. He stole 2 bases tonight, totaling that 9 stolen base total. Like, it's only May 6th. He should easily surpass 40 home runs this year, assuming he's healthy and nothing goes wrong. The pitch you were alluding to, it was like a hanging curveball by Max Fried. He just towered it into the center field for an easy home run, no doubt about it. He hit that 464 blast. I think that was off. Was that off Tyler Matzek? It might have been.
Yeah, I think you're right.
The guy
who's that other lefty they have?
AJ Minner.
Yeah, it might have been him actually.
One of those guys. He hit the home run off of and went 464 feet. It just completely was obliterated to like the second deck level. ever since the Toronto Blue Jays fans booed him in Toronto, Ohtani has just been a madman, just killing every baseball. My goodness, like, what more is there to say? He's got like a weighted runs created plus WRC plus of like 220, which I've never seen before, I think, from a Dodgers player up to this point, this late in the season. And just as a designated hitter alone, not even playing defense, he's a 2.5 WAR.
I haven't followed up on this, but how's he been with runners in scoring position? Has he improved there?
I mean, he's improved given that it was pretty bad early on. The batting average might still be in the low 200s. It's not out of this world yet, but he is improving. I know he got some hits against the Blue Jays, and then I think in the 10th inning against the Braves, if I'm not mistaken, he hit the base hit to tie it up 3-3.
Yeah. Came through in the clutch against the Braves. You know, we don't get the Páez walk off without Ohtani tying that game. So that's for sure. The fact that he's getting on base is huge at the clip that he is. It seems as though you look up at the TV every time and he's on base or in scoring position. So he is doing everything that you could ask for. And the power is just majestic. I mean, it's just so, I'm in awe of watching him. And, you know, I know people, you know, glazing is a bad thing, right? You know, you never want to glaze too much, right, Kevin? But I think honestly, we can over glaze for Shohei Ohtani. I think that's where I agree with, Ben Verlander. You know, there's been a while since I've really, you know, leveled up with Ben Verlander, but I get it now. You know, I get why he's been acting this way. I mean, he actually might be a little bit too much, but honestly, like, I get it. I mean, this guy's that good.
We might have to submit a truce to Ben Verlander and try to get him on the show so he can talk about the magic that is Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
I mean,
we won't ask him any Babe Ruth related questions. Yeah. We'll just keep it to Ohtani.
I think that's exactly what he'd love to talk about. The guy that lives, breathes and talks Ohtani. But I mean, my goodness, every time this guy connects for a home run, it's like the prettiest sight I've ever seen. I'm just in awe.
Yeah.
And he hits the ball so hard. So many times he's hit the ball. He's broken the record a couple times for a Dodger. I think he got 119 and 120 or whatever, but it's been insane how hard he's hitting these baseballs. It's to the likes that we've never seen in Dodger blue in the Statcast era. Yeah. And I mean, it's a two-man race for the MVP. It's Ohtani and Mookie Betts, and it's teetering back and forth. I mean, Mookie might have the edge because he's playing shortstop, a position he's never done before. And I've noticed that he is getting better. And they both have pretty great offensive stats across the board right now. But yeah, it's really between those two, I think.
I don't really know who else would be in the running. You look at the Braves, right? And, you know, Ronald Acuna Jr. is usually in the mix. Matt Olson, you know, Austin Riley. Those guys are off to really slow starts. So I don't know what's going on there. I mean, should we get into that Braves series? Because that was kind of a statement sweep.
That's what I was about to say. I'm thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
I was surprised. Wasn't even close.
Wasn't even close. I mean, granted, the first game did go to extra innings, so that one was. But the next two were just like easy. They coasted, basically. The offense just destroyed. And Glasnow and Yamamoto, right? That just shut him down.
Paxton.
Oh, Paxton. Right. Paxton. But Glasnow was in there.
Glasnow was the middle game.
It was the middle game. Right. So the middle game between Glasnow and Big Maple, like, just shut him down. And the offense just provided so much during that series.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers starters between Stone, Glasnow, and Paxton, they all showed up. They just dominated one of the best lineups in baseball. I mean, Gavin Stone in his last two outings has looked phenomenal. He's lowered his ERA to basically 4. He was able to go, I think, 7 against the Blue Jays, and then he went 6 against the Braves and gave him like maybe 2 or 3 runs in that span. So he's been dealing. He doesn't want to go down in the minors, clearly. And then Glasnow, I mean, every time this guy just takes the ball, he carves up whoever he's facing. He had 10 strikeouts against the Atlanta Braves, and he's pitching deep into games. I mean, he went 7 against the Braves. He went 8, I think, against the Blue Jays. So he's been everything and more that the Dodgers could ask out of maybe the Cy Young front runner right now. And then Paxton, who a lot of people were down on, but I'm in the Paxton truther camp. I mean, to me, I view him as a number 5, and he's probably the best number 5 in baseball right now.
Oh, absolutely.
When you look around, like so many other teams, they have like guys with 6 or 7 ERAs starting games for them. And people are complaining about James Paxton, who is like a 3 ERA. He was able to go 6 2/3 and gave up like 1 run.
Yeah. And also Yamamoto, ever since Korea, has been every bit of an ace. I think Glasnow technically is the ace of this staff, but Yamamoto's been right there.
They're co-aces, I think.
One A.
Toss out the Korea start, and Yamamoto has a 1.64 ERA.
Yeah, no, he's locked in. He's settled in, figured it out. He has command of every one of his pitches, and he's dominating. Just like we all thought he would. I'm glad for him too, because that would have been rough, you know, a rough start to his big contract coming over to the States and really struggling out the gate. He basically had one blow up start and was like, never again, I'm never doing that again, and has been dominant ever since.
Yeah, pretty much. We've got a lot of people tuning in, so appreciate you all. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. In a few minutes, you guys can start dropping your questions, and we're going to get to those questions. Yamamoto, I think I'm going to try to catch him tomorrow against the Marlins because I haven't seen him in person. So just throwing that out, Jake, if you've got nothing to do, I'm going to try to see that Yamamoto Dodger in person with a coworker. But anyways, yeah, Maria G, Max Fried is overrated. I don't get the fascination with this guy. Honestly, I'm starting to think that the whole Atlanta Braves team might be overrated in general because they did not look that impressive at all against the Dodgers. In that middle game, we beat them 11-2. Max Muncy went off for 3 home runs himself in just that one.
I was surprised to find out that he's never done that before. I could have sworn he had.
I would have thought the same, especially against the Giants.
Yeah.
So he destroyed them. Teoscar destroyed them. He had 1 or 2 home runs.
Yeah, and Wills, an outfield assist,
which was pretty crucial as well, because I think that prevented the go-ahead run or the tying run, something along those lines. And then Will Smith had a great series. And, of course, Shohei Ohtani, who had 3 home runs in 2 games. But, yeah, they lit up Max Fried. Teoscar took him deep. Ohtani took him deep. And then in that finale, it was just cruise control for the Dodgers. They won 5-1. So this Braves team, they looked lifeless. I mean, Acuna didn't do anything. Matt Olson has looked horrible this year. Austin Riley started to get a little bit together, but I'm starting to think that the Atlanta Braves might not be the biggest threat in the National League right now.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far. I mean, they've got so much talent on that team that I just, you can't really count them out. I mean, they're not going to be this bad all season long. These guys are going to figure it out, especially the guys you mentioned, Acuna, Olson, Riley, yeah. Albies. I mean, they've got a ton of talent in that lineup.
Right.
And Max Fried, even though the Dodgers beat up on him, has been pretty decent this season, at least recently.
Right.
And yeah, I mean, the pitching, the starting pitching for them is a big question mark for sure. Because they lost Strider. So
yes,
that's going to be the big question mark. But I think the offense is going to figure it out at some point. I mean, going into the series with the Dodgers, they had the best record in the National League, right? And now they have the second best record in their division. So, you know, I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, they're going to make the playoffs, obviously. I think the Phillies might be the biggest threat, though, in the National League. They are starting to look a little scary. They're good, the Phillies.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, another team that, you know, got off to a slow start, but has really come alive. And they again, another team with like a shit ton of talent, you know, that they're just guys that aren't going to be bad the whole year. And I knew that they're going to be in the mix. I'm actually glad that they're going to, I hope that they're going to be contending for the NL East title, because every year it's just the Braves running away with it. Like we run away with the West.
Definitely. And yeah, I'm just rubbing it into the Braves. I know they're a good team.
You know who might be frauds though are the Diamondbacks.
I didn't even pick them to make the playoffs when we did our predictions.
I mean, maybe it's, you know, everyone talks about that Linsanity run that a lot of guys have. I mean, maybe the whole team had a Linsanity run last year. It's possible.
I mean, the way Corbin Carroll's looked, he's lifeless. He's
having, I mean, yeah, it's the sophomore slump thing, right?
Definitely. And yeah, we did pretty well against them, but and they destroyed Montgomery, so that was nice. But yeah, I mean, the Braves, they're gonna be fine. I'm just being an asshole. We never sweep the Braves, so I'm having my fun here, people. What was I gonna say? I guess I already forgot. But anyways, oh no, I remember now. If Max Muncy in 2021, if Max Muncy didn't get hurt like on the last day of the year, and Max Scherzer didn't quit,
Jace Peterson, right?
Yep. I feel like that series could have gone completely different. Because to me, Brian Snitker is one of the most merchant lucky guys ever. Got to face an unhealthy Dodgers team. And I know for a fact they lost Acuna, but guess what they were able to do? They were able to replace him midseason with trades. They got Jock, Soler, Rosario. But when you lose Max Muncy on the last day of the year, you don't get time to replace him. You get Matt Beatty instead. And so,
yeah, that was tough. I mean, and also the fact that the Giants series went five games, like,
yes,
that was super taxing as well.
Exactly. It just, they got lucky there, and the Braves haven't been able to get out of the first round since, but neither of us, but we won't talk about that. Okay. But Blake Treinen, he's back.
He's better than I expected. Way better than I expected, but I was shocked that they had a back-to-back. They usually don't do that with pitchers, especially those that are coming off of injuries. So I was a bit surprised that he was able to do back-to-back appearances, but he looked every bit as Blake Treinen as we know and love.
Yeah, I was surprised how filthy his slider is looking. So far, two innings, he's untouchable. And the Dodgers need Blake Treinen, which I didn't think I'd be saying right now, because they lost Evan Phillips to the injured list with the hamstring injury. Joe Kelly just got placed on the injured list with a shoulder injury. Brustar Graterol is still out for the foreseeable future. So those are three of our top relievers right there injured. On top of that, Kyle Hurts hurt. Ryan Brazier's out for probably 2 months. So almost all our high leverage guys are out for at least another 10 plus days. And we're leaning heavily on Blake Treinen, who's been awesome so far. Michael Grove, you know, credit to him. He's starting to come into a hot zone. He's been able to get it done in high leverage.
Don't trust him.
He just needs to go one inning. If they limit him to one inning, he's fine. And that's the mistake they make. They try to do multiple and then he blows up. Alex Vessey has looked a lot better. He earned the save in this most recent game. Credit to him. And then there's a bunch of other guys that are just kind of there. And we're like, are you for real? Chris Matt, Varland, Fire Eisen.
It's a lot of question marks.
And then Hudson's been very shaky.
He has. The Dodgers bullpen looks frail at the moment.
It really does.
I'm just hoping that we can weather the storm. It is very nerve-wracking, especially with Evan Phillips. You know, to lose that guy, I mean, good thing it's just his hamstring and not any like arm trouble, but you know, to lose your closer for any amount of time, I mean, you feel sort of he's sort of like a security blanket at the end of the game. You know, if you can figure out a way to get to him with these starters that are pitching deeper into games, that's good, but you know, if you can figure a way to get to Phillips, that you felt fine about that. But without him now, it's like, well, I hope Treinen is really healthy, because he's going to be, I have a feeling he's going to be closing a lot of games for us if this continues.
It sure looks like it. All right, chat people, get your real questions in there. Trade deadline, Otani, Dodger stuff. Ask those real questions right now and we'll do a rapid fire Q&A. In the meantime, we did get one question on X from Zimzies, who always has interesting questions. This time he made a question/comment about, you know, how weird is it thinking about that? At one point, we were thinking about retaining Cody Bellinger, Corey Seager, Julio Urias, and Walker Buehler. And now it's basically down to Walker Buehler. And Zimzies has some pause, given that he's had two Tommy John surgeries.
You can take that one first there, Kev.
Yeah, I mean, if you had talked to me in 2018 or 2019, I would have been like, yeah, we're locking up Cody Bellinger. That's a lock. Future Hall of Famer. Urias, I don't know, but this guy is a legit awesome pitcher. Corey Seager, blank check. Pretty obvious. If you know me, I'm a big Corey Seager guy. Give him a blank check. And Walker Buehler, yeah, he's the next Oral Hershiser, Justin Verlander. You got to lock him up. Well, here we are in 2024, and it's down to Walker Buehler. I'm completely open to re-signing Walker Buehler. I mean, there's really no reason not to unless he's going to ask for some ridiculous hefty contract, like 5 years, 20-plus million a year. But I think that the Dodgers and Buehler can come to a very team-friendly deal, at least for the next year or two, and let's see what Walker Buehler really has in the tank. And if he can emerge back to that peak form, then it's a different discussion.
I can't really answer that question unless till I see what he's made of this year. I mean, if he's really back and he's healthy, then yeah, of course you want to re-sign this guy. But if he, you know, God forbid, doesn't make it through the rest of the season or has some sort of setback or whatever, or can't pitch anymore and gets destroyed the rest of the year, I mean, how can you sign him after that? So it's really too early to say because we don't really know what we have yet.
Totally. Justin Yamas, what would it take to get a closer who throws 103.7 miles per hour from Oakland? He's infatuated with Mason Miller, who a lot of people are starting to talk about, flamethrower for the Athletics. It would take too much, honestly. I think he's under team control for a good 4 or 5 years. He's just getting his feet underneath him, his feet wet in the majors. This is not the type of player that the Dodgers normally would trade for. So it would take too much, in my opinion. We're going to have to go for someone a little less pricey.
Also, the A's aren't as bad as everyone thought they were going to be. So They're actually like, I mean, they're better than the Astros, aren't they?
I think so.
Shit. Also, boy, Josh Hader, what the hell's going on there?
That team is a mess.
Absolute. I mean, shit, I picked them to win the division. I didn't think they would go from that to last place.
I picked them to win the pennant. But yeah, I'm glad to see the Astros struggling. Maria G, what are we going to do with CT3?
I don't know. He can't hit.
I'm honestly starting to forget that Chris Taylor is on the Dodgers roster. And then when he comes to bat for the Dodgers, I get a little irritated because it's a rough watch. I mean, he's hitting like 070. He strikes out too much. Most pitchers could have hit better than him if they were still having pitchers bat in the National League. They're waiting for Jason Hayward, obviously, who's coming back soon. I think it'll be 2 weeks and he'll be back in the Dodgers lineup. And then you have to decide, do you want a phantom IL Chris Taylor so he can get some rehab at bats in AAA to get his confidence up? Or do you send down James Outman? Because I think those are the only two players that you can honestly move off the Dodgers roster right now when Hayward is ready to be activated. And I think it's got to be Chris Taylor, get him off the team in a fake injury scenario and get his confidence back because he's the worst player on the team. He's got like a negative 0.6 or 0.7 war. And other than a couple bloopers for base hits, he hasn't done anything. I don't think he has any home runs for the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, Chris Taylor. It's pretty much an automatic out. I mean, it's a good thing the rest of the team is hitting because otherwise it would be a real glaring issue. But the truth is that it kind of is because they can't really use him. So, you know, I don't know how much pride Chris Taylor has or if he's interested in swallowing that pride and going down to the minors and getting things right. But like your options are what? You know, play once in a while on this team because they can't really play you, you know, as often as they want to and get less at bats than you would in the minors. Or do you want to go down to the minors and get 3-4 at bats a night and really figure this shit out? Because, you know, Jose Abreu did it. Speaking of the Astros,
yes.
Jose Abreu agreed to go down to the minors because that guy just was, you know, you might as well go up there without a bat.
Yeah,
I mean, it kind of feels terrible like Chris Taylor right now.
Yeah, and he's plugging up a roster spot, and it kind of sucks to see, like, Miguel Vargas is tearing it up in AAA. It's got like
he always is, isn't he?
He always is, but this time he might actually be fully healthy with the hands and the fingers. And it just sucks because it's another Michael Busch situation where he's a 4A player and he's too good for the minors and he might not be good enough for the majors. It honestly feels like a trade involving Miguel Vargas seems inevitable because there's not much more you can do with him at this point. But I guess my point is I would love to see him maybe get one more shot with the Dodgers before they say toodles. And so if Chris Taylor has to be that guy, swap him out, however you want to market, give me some Vargas at-bats.
It just sucks, too, because it's kind of the same situation with Michael Busch, like you were talking about, but also for the fact that what I've mentioned is that Michael Busch, when he played with the Dodgers, there was a lot of pressure on him to be good because there was no spot for him. And similarly with Miguel Vargas, there really isn't a spot for him on this roster when you consider the production you're getting from Páez and Teoscar Hernandez. So what are you going to do? Send James Outman down or replace James Outman with Miguel Vargas and move who to center field? I mean, Kike? You going to play Kike more? Right. So I don't know. I don't know what you do there. You know, move Teoscar to center field? It's a tricky situation. And I'm afraid that, you know, Miguel Vargas just has too much pressure on him this time. I mean, there's really going to be a lot of pressure on him to perform because if he doesn't, he's going right back down to AAA or he's getting traded.
Definitely. Los Dodgers, World Series champs. Who are the Dodgers starting against San Diego this weekend? Well, if Yamamoto's going tomorrow, and then usually after Yamamoto, I think Gavin Stone, they said, is starting Wednesday. That means you can expect Tyler Glasnow to start against the Padres. James Paxton will start against the Padres. And then they either go bullpen game, or I think it's going to be Walker Buehler against the San Diego Padres.
That's going to be an interesting series because the Padres have played the Dodgers really tough so far this season. So that's going to be another test for how hot this Dodgers team really is. I mean, they have been tearing it up lately and they, you know, cut through the Braves like a hot knife through butter. But what is going to happen when they face San Diego? I mean, like how have the Dodgers really figured it out? You know, that we're going to see.
Yeah. And the Padres are one of those teams this year where they're probably not going to win the World Series, but they've assembled their roster to compete with the Dodgers as they normally do. And Jake, we're going from the team right now we're currently facing that traded Luis Arias to the team we're about to face in the San Diego Padres. So I kind of wanted your quick thoughts on that trade.
It's a strange one because they just moved Xander Bogaerts to second base for Ha-Seong Kim.
Yeah.
What is the plan there? I mean, there are too many infielders.
I think they're DHing one of those guys.
Machado?
They might be Bogaerts. DHing him and Arias.
Okay. Well, I guess that works, but I mean, I don't know. The Padres never stop making moves. It's amazing that they still have prospects left to deal, but alas, I mean, AJ Preller, man, he's a wheeling and dealing kind of guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'm annoyed with that trade because the Marlins basically gave him to the Padres for almost free. They're paying a salary to get him off the team, and they wanted to make they sold low on him because they wanted to make the trade because they were worried his value would drop. I mean, the Marlins can almost. Their own. Oh, my connection got off. Oh, people complain about the Oakland Athletics owners, but honestly, I think the Miami Marlins owners are worse. They just assemble the worst team every year. They trade everybody away. Nobody shows up to that stadium. And honestly, like, what are we even doing here? Ban the owner. Like, why is this guy in the game? They're misogynist. They want to demote Kim Ng for no reason after she just built a team that got them to the playoffs. Skip Schumacher is running around with his head cut off. They have no idea what is going on. They burned all their pitchers. They all have Tommy John. It's a joke.
And it's only May, and their executive is saying that they're not going to make the playoffs already.
God, like, we don't need teams like that.
Shit show.
They suck.
I really, like, it makes me appreciate the Dodgers even more, because I mean, I don't know what I would do if I was a fan of one of these, you know, teams where the ownership doesn't give a shit about it. Like, if I was a Marlins fan or an Athletics fan, I mean, Christ almighty, that is brutal.
Totally. Riggs, Roman, who would we have to trade for Willy Adames? Going to be asked that a lot. I mean, we already talked about Miguel Vargas. Get him involved. At some point, the Dodgers have to cut ties with Diego Cartaya. Maybe this is the guy you consider moving for Cartaya. I mean, for Cartaya for Adames. Maybe they move some starters. They have a lot of options if they really want to pull off this Adames trade. I'm going to continue to monitor him all season long. I think the team, though, that I think is going to be the sneaky sellers, because I find them also overrated, is the Toronto Blue Jays. I think they're going to potentially be massive sellers at the deadline. They are trending in the wrong direction.
So you're thinking their shortstop, right? Bichette, right?
Yes. I'm thinking Bichette. I'm thinking Adames for the Brewers.
I don't know what I was going to say about the Brewers, because I think you might be right about the Blue Jays being sellers at some point, because they're underachieving. But the Brewers are tied for the division lead in the Central with the Cubs. So I don't know if, you know, what's the motivation to trade their shortstop, who's hitting really well right now,
right,
and leading the division. So
you would have to overpay and give them needs, essentially, since they're going to lose Adames to free agency. I don't think he's worth enough to offer the qualifying offer. The Dodgers would have to make a compelling offer. You know, maybe they need some starting pitchers, give them a position player that can take the place of Adames, or the player that would take the place of Adames, and then he takes that place. They'd have to overpay, though. It would be a hefty offer, without a doubt.
I mean, you might be able to get Bo Bichette for cheaper.
Right.
And he's also having a bad season. So
yes,
he's hitting 195 this year with one homer and 11 RBIs. That's brutal. Terrible.
So he's the new Tim Anderson.
Yeah, but hey, maybe if he comes to a team that actually is going to be contending, you know, that can change. Right. That can change things.
I would like him. Javier T. So what's happening with Sheehan? He was really good and got shut down all of a sudden.
He's hurt.
He is hurt. I feel like every week they contradict themselves. One week it's like he's going to be out a while. He's dealing with some shoulder or I think it's a forearm type of injury. And then you hear from Sheehan. He's like, I'm feeling great. I'll be back soon. And we're just like, what the hell is going on here? If I had to put a timetable, I think we'll see Emmett Sheehan in June. He'll be back in June sometime. You could probably throw out the idea that he'll be a starter for the Dodgers. If they can find a bullpen role for him, I think that makes the most sense for this season.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
One of our best listeners, Dennis Gonzalez. If Andy Páez can keep his current momentum, is there room to bring back Miguel Vargas for a spell, or will he be stuck in the minors this season? I think we already kind of touched on it. They're not going to send down Páez at any point unless he falls into a massive slump. This guy is just a catalyst, and it is igniting the Dodgers lineup. So he'll be in the lineup every day. He's yet to miss a start since being called up. Teoscar Hernandez has yet to miss a start since being on the Dodgers. And then you've got James Outman, who's being platooned with the likes of Kike and Chris Taylor. So I guess really the only path for Vargas to get on the Dodgers roster is either one, an injury, which we don't want, or they do something with Chris Taylor.
Right, or Outman.
Or Outman.
Yeah.
Exactly.
No, Páez, man. I just love that guy. I love what he brings. I love his power and his ability to play every single outfield position, and his arm is incredible. I couldn't be happier. It's so nice to see a Dodgers prospect, a hitter, burst onto the scene.
Right.
And perform a top prospect, no less, and perform the way he is.
I know. It's the first legit prospect since like Will Smith to do this. So
yeah,
about freaking time. Jello is jiggling. How about a trade for Jazz Chisholm and Tanner Scott? Kill birds with one stone. Hopefully not the Gavin Stone. Rojas might not like it though. I'm in the camp that Jazz Chisholm is an overrated star. Like he's a decent player, but I don't think the Dodgers need him. Like where would we even play him? Tanner Scott's my boy though. Pony up, make a big trade. They could do it tomorrow. I'd be freaking happy.
I mean, hey, the Marlins seem to be in the giving mood, so they already got rid of their second baseman. Let's get one of their pitchers. Yeah, I'm not a huge Jazz Chisholm guy. Just you know, I don't have any problem with like having fun playing the game however you want to play, but you know,
yeah,
I don't know. Is he that good? Is he that good? You know, do we really need? I mean, it's like, is it a real necessity? He can't play shortstop, so you know.
Fair enough. That's it for questions for now. Probably got about 10 minutes left in the show, so you can get those final questions in there, people. Again, if you tuned in late, Walker Buehler bobblehead, all you have to do is put in the comment sections after you watch the video in the whatever the post live credit comments or the post credit. I cannot talk. The post comment section after the video, just comment something about Walker Buehler and the show or your thoughts.
Post credits, you know.
Yeah. And it's free. There's no catch here. My goodness. The show is brought to you by TickPick. If you haven't even used that app yet, well, it's the best one out there. There's no service fees at checkout. I'm going to use TickPick tomorrow to go watch Yamamoto pitch against the Miami Marlins because the tickets are super cheap right now. So all you have to do is download the app. No service fees at checkout. Tickets are guaranteed and protected, so there's nothing fishy going on. And I use it for concerts. I literally got a $5 concert the other night, so that was a steal. All in the TickPick app, so give them a try, guys. All right, Jake, so down to the final few minutes here. If there's any other segments you want to talk about or what's been going on with you, anything you want to drop on the podcast?
Well, yeah, it was kind of cool the other night. So last week was my birthday. Was on Thursday, turned 33. Can you believe it? And then the next day was the LA premiere of my movie that I shot last summer called Love and Taxes. And the weekend prior, we were in the Myrtle Beach Film Festival. We won some awards, Kev. We won for best comedy at the festival. Nice. And I won for best actor in a comedy. So that was pretty cool. And my co-star Alexis Abrams won for best actress at that event. So we were going into this past week with, you know, a lot of confidence. And then on Friday at the Beverly Hills Film Festival, we had the LA premiere, and honestly, it was just cool. It was kind of felt like my first real like Hollywood moment for myself. I mean, obviously I grew up in the Hollywood world, but like for me personally, as a lead in a movie was really cool. Did the whole red carpet thing. And the theater, Kev, was pretty packed. It was, we got a pretty good, pretty good crowd there. So it was cool to see like, you know, me up on the big screen with a big crowd at a movie theater and like people laughing. We did like a Q&A afterwards, which was really fun. So yeah, pretty good run. Pretty good run I've been on. And it's nice that it's coincided with the Dodgers figuring things out. So I couldn't be happier there.
I'm happy for you. You're crushing it.
Yeah.
You're lucky I didn't attend, because my question for you would have been, what are your thoughts on urinals, Jake?
Oh, I would have told you, Kev. I would have told you. Hate the dividerless urinals. Never. If there are no dividers in the public restroom for the urinals, I will wait for the stall. I don't care. So there you go. You just asked and I answered. So I'm not afraid to go there, but I wish you would have came and asked me about just like a random Dodgers question.
That'd have been funny. Just like they're saying in the comments right now, you're living that Hollywood lifestyle.
Exactly. Just like my buddy, Anthony Rendon.
Just like your buddy Yang Yi. You know, this is funny because this is not the first time I've gotten this comparison.
That's apparently really funny.
I look like Pau Gasol. I wish I was that tall.
Oh my God.
One of my all-time favorites.
Wow.
I am flattered.
It's funny because it kind of makes sense.
Yongyi, you just made my night. I am flattered. Thank you. I'm not even any part Spaniard, but I will take it.
Yeah. Yeah. But you got a mean post move, right?
That's right. Just dropped in the comments our Discord channel. If you want to chat some Dodgers, we got a great chat going on in the Discord feed. It's free. And we talk Dodgers and people share their takes and all that fun stuff. So thank you, Aaron. Yeah. Okay. Everyone's seeing the Pau Gasol thing. Okay. Awesome. Final thoughts, Jake.
Final thoughts. Well, the Dodgers are on a roll. I mean, I don't want to end on a sour note, but I can't help but think that, like, you know, we own the regular season. We know this, you know, we expected this. I'm hoping that this team is different though. I really do. Like it does have that different feel to it. I mean, we've watched dominant regular seasons in the past. I mean, in the last few years, they've been over 100 win teams that we've watched, but I don't know. I really hope that the feeling that I have about this team, the different feeling that I have about this team this year comes to fruition in October. And I'm just trying to keep it. I'm trying to enjoy the regular season, Kevin, but I can't help as a Dodgers fan think about October and what kind of team shows up then.
I know we still have so much baseball left. So we shouldn't be peaking right now is all I have to say. But for now, it feels like we're playing too damn good and they're going to fall back to earth at some point. They just got to get their shit together in late September and October, obviously. Because Maria G is always hanging out, trying to refresh my memory of what Stephen A. Smith said about Mike Trout. I don't know if you know off the top of your head.
Oh yeah. He said something to the effect of like, I don't understand why these baseball players are always getting hurt. It's baseball. It's not as strenuous as basketball or football or whatever. It's baseball. He doesn't understand why Mike Trout can't stay healthy. And, you know, that was kind of the gist of it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what's going on with Mike Trout is unfortunate. But he's no longer durable enough to play the outfield. And they might have to come to grips with that. But yeah, I mean, yeah. Thank you, Noisy Ninja. Yeah, Stephen A is kind of a clown for saying he deserved to get hurt or like it was good karma. And I think he roasted him for wanting to stay for the Angels. It's like, yeah, you know, it's probably not in your best interest to remain on the Angels. But if you want to be loyal, this isn't like the NBA. Like, can you really trash a guy's legacy?
No, I mean, you'll say whatever you want about Trout, but watching him be emotional during the press conference after he found out he was going to be out for a significant amount of time, I think it was with a knee injury, right? Yeah. You can't help but feel bad for the guy. I mean, if there's one thing you can say about Trout, he loves baseball. I mean, you know, and he loves to play. He doesn't really care so much about winning a World Series because he's remained on this team and signed a massive extension to stay with this team, knowing full well that they were in no way, shape, or form ready to make a run at anything. And the front office is a mess. The ownership is a mess. The player development is a mess. So he knew all these things going in and still signed an extension. So you might be able to criticize him for that, but the guy wants to be out there. I mean, you know, and if he could be out there, he would be out there. So like, you know, Stephen A. Smith, every time he tries to dip his way into baseball, it never goes well because he doesn't know ball. He doesn't know that ball in particular.
Yeah.
I mean, he tried to make the comment that, you know, how could Shohei Ohtani be the face of baseball if he doesn't speak English? Like that was one of his takes about baseball. I mean, that's ridiculous. I mean, Shohei Ohtani is a global superstar here in America and abroad.
Yeah.
Who cares? You know, like he just doesn't know baseball and he should just stay away from that.
I agree. My final thoughts are not even about the Dodgers. It comes from, I think, last night's game yesterday, Sunday game, actually. I agree with Stan Kasten. That guy knows pizza. He said to Joe Davis and Orel Hershiser that Apollonia's Pizzeria, which, if you haven't been there, is located on La Brea and Wilshire in mid-city Los Angeles, near my neck of the woods, is his favorite pizza in the entire world. And while it's not my number one, it's definitely in my top five in Los Angeles, because I haven't been around the entire world. But Los Angeles pizza is crushing it. Besides New York, they've got the second best pizza in the country.
Where is your number one spot?
Pizzeria Sei. It's S-E-I. I don't know the proper pronunciation as usual, but it's off of Pico. It's like West LA.
Okay. I have not tried that yet. So
very good.
I definitely need to.
But LA is crushing it. We have a lot of good pizza, whether you're on the west side or you want to go really east. Better than Chicago. It's better than Detroit. It's better than, yeah. So, yeah, that's my final thoughts. All right, so closing out the show here. Thank you guys so much for listening to this week's episode of the Incline Dodgers podcast. As a reminder, please hit that like and subscribe button. And if you're listening on the audio feed, we appreciate a 5-star review as well. And for the Walker Buehler giveaway for the final time, I'll post it on our social medias, but all you got to do is leave a comment in the YouTube section or in the audio feed comments or review comments, and we'll start calculating it. The goal, 3,200 subscribers. So Jake, Kevin, we're signing out. Go Dodgers.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.